This is Fresh Air. My guest, A.B. Yehoshua, is one of Israel's most prominent authors. Like most of that country's best-known writers, his subject is often the issues that unite and divide Israel. Yehoshua is a fifth-generation Israeli. His new novel, Mr. Manny, is about six generations of one Israeli family. Reviewing the book in the New York Times, Herbert Mitgang wrote, "This is a universal story that sums up the modern Jewish experience in adversity and, by extension, the fate of other wanderers seeking safe havens. It is a literary tour de force." I asked Yehoshua about the structure of the novel. It begins in the 1980s during the war in Lebanon, then goes backwards in time to the middle of the 19th century.
This is not an historical novel in the simple sense. It's not the accumulation of time, but the digging back in time, meaning that the problems are coming in the present, and in order to understand the present, you are going back in time. Meaning it's not for just a pleasure or nostalgia or escape from the present, but on the contrary, the point of departure is present. And then you are going backwards in order to understand present.
What were the problems of today that you feel you were trying to work through in the novel?
I think that the problems were in many layers, because the novel is touching ideological layer, and political layer, and also, of course, psychological and personal layer. So all is mingled together. But I would say that if the starting point is the war in Lebanon, in 1982, not as a real fact in the novel, it is just the background. The war in Lebanon as such was for me a kind of a new stage and break in my history, in the history of me as a Zionist Israeli, and the breaking of some sacred values, that we will, by our own initiative, will start a war and go to Beirut through villages, through civilians, in order to have such a crazy plan to get rid of the Palestinian or to do peace with the Christians, think like that. For me, as an Israeli that lives all his time by knowing that war is the most evil thing, that we are hating war, that we don't war, that we had enough deaths behind us, this was for me a new stage in breaking some of the sacred laws that existed in the Israeli society.
So how did the war in Lebanon change your sense of what you needed to do as an Israeli?
No, I wanted to understand from which sources these conceptions are coming. I wanted to check again the ideology, the past of my people, in order to understand what is this new element that were exposed in the political life that I did not realize that it is existing in me.
The kind of obvious answer people would give is, for Israel, the Holocaust and other oppression suffered by the Jews over the centuries. What did you come up with?
Yes, there will be, of course, many, many answers. But what I wanted is to go backwards and to test the history of the Jewish people during the last 200 years in some of its crossroads, in order to examine what were the decision, what were the ideological decision, if there was any other option, any other alternative. And this is the reason why I was getting backwards. It means I did not understand, and I, you know, as a writer, you are going deep, deep in the soul of your nation. This is one of our, I would say, adventures, that we are going beyond the news, beyond the political commentaries. We are trying to do a psychoanalysis to the soul of the nation. And as you are doing in psychoanalysis, you are going to the childhood or to some traumas that are in the end, in the beginning of the life. This was also the technique of my novel.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Israeli novelist A.B. Yehoshua, who is also active in the Israeli peace movement. He has a new novel called Mr. Manny. We're going to take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Israeli novelist A.B. Yehoshua is my guest. What brought your family to Israel?
They were brought to Israel. They came from Salonika. Some was coming from Prague. Just naturally, not because anti-Semitism, not because someone chased them. They were coming before Zionism. I want to stress this point because their coming was a kind of a positive one, not from negative reasons, not because they were unhappy, just because they knew Eretz Israel is their home, and this is the place in which they ought to live, and they moved from one part of the Ottoman Empire to another part in the most natural way. This is the reason why I stress my belonging to the country. It wasn't done under any condition that this will be a just society, that this will be redemption for the Jews. Just returning home in the most simple sense of this term.
Do you think that the Holocaust changed the politics and the mood, the whole sense of life in Israel, because so many people came at one time who had barely survived the war?
Yes, the Holocaust is, of course, a turning point in the Jewish history. For me, it is our great failure. And, of course, everyone draw a different conclusion from the Holocaust. There are those who are becoming liberals and, I would say, fighter for human rights because of the Holocaust. There are who are becoming fascists because of the Holocaust, saying, you see what they have done to the Jews, so we have to be strong and we don't have to care about someone else, and we have to be egoistic and things like that. And there are those who are drawing the opposite conclusions. There can be many, many different conclusions that can draw from the Holocaust. For me, the Holocaust is, first of all, the great failure of the Jewish people, meaning that our history, we did not take care of ourselves. We did not knew how to lead well our history, and we had pushed ourselves to a corner in which such dreadful things have been done to us.
You know, some Jews are so offended when people blame the Jews for the Holocaust. I'm not blaming them for the Holocaust, but you're saying that it was somehow the
our
fault of the Jewish people.
I mean the fault, not the Holocaust, the fault that we have existed in the diaspora, when there were so many signs all over the way that this kind of life will lead us to catastrophe. Antisemitism did not start with Hitler. Antisemitism was already in the second century before Jesus Christ in Alexandria, when there was there 1 million Jews. The diaspora existence is a problematic existence by itself. This is the reason why Herzl was saying we have to normalize ourselves. The fact that the Jews had continually decided to stay in abnormal situation like the diaspora led them to the Holocaust. And my question is, why at all diaspora, why at all the Jews had chosen such a way of life that they knew very well that this is disastrous for them?
So you think that all Jews should go to Israel to live?
I think that the Jewish people have to normalize itself in, let's say, having a territory of its own, like the other people in the world, living among themselves. And this is what we call normalization. What is good for the Dutch, what is good for the Danish, what is good for the American, what is good for the Mexican is also good for the Jews. And if the Jews want to behave differently, they have to know that this will not help them.
But in a way, you know, you're talking in support of what I find a very disturbing trend, which is, you know, like Germany for the Germans. Lithuania for the Lithuanians. You know, I mean, the opposite side of the coin that you're describing is of a kind of ethnic or religious chauvinism. I mean, when we look around the world now, we're seeing all this infighting between different ethnic groups and religious groups, where each territory wants only their people within it, or wants to give the people who are from that territory special rights over other people who have arrived more recently.
I don't see it like this. I see that I don't see any fighting between Denmark and Sweden and Norway, and each country has its own people and its own identity. And what I see in Russia of the Soviet Union today, on the contrary, it's a positive thing that every people is living among himself. If you don't have to fight for this. Why the Ukrainian have to fight the Russian and the Russian has to fight the Belarusia or whatever, Latvia and Lita? This was done because they were, I would say, forced to be mingled together. And what they want is that every people, everyone wants to be at home.
Yeah, I know a lot of Palestinians would say that the solution of a Jewish state found a home for the Jews, but displaced Palestinians who had been living there. So, I mean, as somebody in the peace movement, how do you reconcile that aspect of the Jewish homeland?
The Jewish homeland, there will be a Jewish homeland and a Palestinian homeland. There will be two homelands. There is enough room to cut this land into two parts. This was the decision of the United Nations in 1947 when it was creating the State of Israel. It was creating not only the State of Israel but the State of Palestine. So there were two states, and this is the only solution that can be held, and this is the only just solution for this area. Two people reclaim the same territory. The solution is to cut it into two parts. And why not?
To understand the conflicts today in Israel, you've gone back, especially in your new novel, and written about the history of Israel. What gives you a sense from history that a two-state solution would work for Israel, that Israel and a Palestinian state could coexist side by side?
I don't know. It was not tried, but I would say there is no other solution because we cannot dominate them, and they cannot dominate us, and we cannot now create a new South Africa. The last regime of apartheid is now dismantled. It's a very, very important news for all the peace lover in the world. So what do you want, that we will keep 2 million Palestinians without civil rights for eternity, or they will do it for us? There is no solution. Every people have to dominate himself. This is the rule all over the world. So if they cannot do it, they will be kicked out if they cannot coexist with us. But they will have to do it. And I think that now, after all their fantasies and their illusions, now they came to the point, after so much suffering, that this is the only solution for them. And of course, we can do it. Why not? You believe in the dismantling of the Soviet Union, for example. If I would say to you 6 or 7 years ago that the Soviet Union will be dismantled in 5 years, and afterwards this will be separate states and the Communist Party will be out of order in the Soviet Union, you say, it is impossible. But it is impossible. And I would say to you that the reunification of Germany can be done in 1 year and a half. You would say it is impossible. You see, it is possible. And that the South Africa apartheid will be dismantled by a referendum, and it was done. So why the Palestinians and the Israelis cannot live together? And the Egyptians and the Israelis can live together. We have a peace. I was giving a lecture just 3 weeks ago in Cairo, and I can go by my car to Cairo. So this, we have been enemies. We fought once against the other, but now we are in peace. So why not? Why don't believe in such a things?
I have a writing question for you. A lot of writers and readers in the United States think that the novel has been in something of a crisis, in part because many writers have lost that sense of subject, of a big, important subject to write about. As an Israeli novelist, your country and its dilemmas, what you've described as the soul of your country, is a constant source of material for you. Do you feel blessed in a way as a writer to have this kind of ongoing and complicated and emotional relationship with your country that gives you a constant source of complicated emotional material?
Yes, I'm blessed as a writer, you are right, but I'm cursed as a citizen because I'm not only a writer, I have my children in the army and I'm worried. And I say from time to time, I give up my pleasure as a writer to be more calm and more secure as a citizen. So you are right. You are right by saying, and this is the reason why, in a certain way, the Israeli writing have been a little bit exposed to outside world. Our works are not only translated in America, of course, they are translated in 12 or 14 languages and countries. And we enjoy the fact that we are more... Not only us, I can speak also about the South American writers in a certain way, now about East European countries. You are like the French, you have good life. I don't know, even in America you have problems. But let's take the Scandinavian writers. When I see them, I always see that they are bored in a certain way. Okay, but you know, as a Jew, I'm not afraid of having a dull life. Jews will always find a way to be excited. If it will not be a war, they will find another issue to be excited. So this is our nature, to be in conflict and to be in excitement.
Well, A.B. Yehoshua, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
A.B. Yehoshua's new novel is Mr. Manny. This is Fresh Air.